నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయం ఉదీరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయేష్వ భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్ఠికీ మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యత్కృపాతమహం వందే శ్రీగురుం దీనతారణం పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 6 చాప్టర్ 19 వర్స్ 25. ఏతచ్చరిత్వా విధివత్ వ్రతం విభోర్ రభీప్సితార్థం లభతే పుమానిహ శ్రీచైతదాస్థాయ లభేత సౌభగం శ్రియం ప్రజాం జీవపతిం యశో గృహం. ఏతచ్చరిత్వా విధివత్ వ్రతం విభో అభీప్సితార్థం లభతే పుమానిహ శ్రీచైతదాస్థాయ లభేత సౌభగం శ్రియం ప్రజాం జీవపతిం యశో గృహం. ఏతచ్చరిత్వా విధివత్ వ్రతం విభో అభీప్సితార్థం లభతే పుమానిహ శ్రీచైతదాస్థాయ లభేత సౌభగం శ్రియం ప్రజాం జీవపతిం యశో గృహం. ఏతచ్చరిత్వా విధివత్ వ్రతం విభోర్ అభీప్సితార్థం లభతే పుమానిహ శ్రీచైతదాస్థాయ లభేత సౌభగం శ్రియం ప్రజాం జీవపతిం యశో గృహం. ఏతచ్చరిత్వా విధివత్ వ్రతం విభోర్ అభీప్సితార్థం లభతే పుమానిహ శ్రీచైతదాస్థాయ లభేత సౌభగం శ్రియం ప్రజాం జీవపతిం యశో గృహం. ఏతత్ దిస్ చరిత్వా పర్ఫార్మింగ్ విధివత్ according to the injunctions of shastra Vratam, vow. Vibho, from the Lord. Abhipsita, desired. Artham, object. Labhate, gets. Puman, a man. Iha, in this life. Stri, a woman. Cha, and. Etat, this. Asthaya, performing. Labheta, can get. Saubhagam, good fortune. Shriyam, opulence. Prajam, progeny. Jeevapatim, a husband with a long duration of life. Yashaha, good reputation. Graham, home. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If this vow or ritualistic ceremony is observed according to the description of Shastra, even in this life, a man will be able to achieve all the benedictions he desires from the Lord. A wife who performs this ritualistic ceremony will surely receive good fortune, opulence, sons, a long living husband, a good reputation, and a good home. Purport. In Bengal, even today, if a woman lives for a long time with her husband, she is considered very fortunate. A woman generally desires a good husband, good children, a good home, prosperity, opulence, and so on. As recommended in this verse, a woman will receive all these desirable benedictions, and a man will also be able to receive all benedictions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, by performing this particular type of vrata, a man and a woman in Krishna consciousness will be happy in this material world, and because of being Krishna conscious, they will be promoted to the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I'm very happy that Asim Krishna Prabhu has kindly invited me, and I'm also very happy because I got a chance to speak on this verse. Few days ago, this topic was explained very beautifully by His Holiness Radha Govinda Goswami Maharaj, and it is my good fortune to be able to relish some of those things which he has already relished. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Bhakta Pada Renu or Bhakta Pada Jal, Bhakta Bhukta Avashishta, Tina Mahabal. There are three things which are very powerful in this world. Bhakta Pada Renu, the dust from the feet of a devotee, and Bhakta Pada Jal, and the waters which have washed the feet of a devotee, and Bhakta Bhukta Avashishta. And if something has been relished by a devotee, some prasadam which has been relished by a devotee, these are very powerful. So, since this verse was already relished by an expert personality, this entire topic was relished by him, I feel very fortunate to be able to relish what he has left for me. So, in this particular topic, uh, especially because it is at the end of the sixth canto, there is some importance, some deep importance to this topic. These last two chapters, chapter 18 and chapter 19, they are describing Diti's vow, that is Pumsavan Vrat. And there are 10 topics which are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. The 10 main topics which are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utayah manvantareshanukatha nirodho muktirashrayah. There are 10 topics which are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarga, creation, primary creation by Lord Vishnu. Visarga, secondary creation by Lord Brahma. Sthanam, the situation of all the living entities in the various planets. Poshanam, and how the Lord is maintaining all these living entities. Utayah, how one performs good karma and how one performs bad karma and what results they get. Manvantara, and the stories of the different kings in the different manvantaras. Ishanu katha, and specifically Krishna katha. Nirodho, and the separation of the living entity from the material world. Mukti, his situation in the spiritual world. And Ashraya, is taking shelter of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. These 10 topics are described. Amongst these 10 topics, specifically in the sixth canto, Poshana, or nourishment by the Lord of his devotees is described. Specifically, this topic is described. Poshan means, it is explained by one very great Vaishnav, his name is Vopadev. Vopadev explains the meaning of Poshana. Poshan means that the Lord maintains his devotees. Lord nourishes his devotees when they perform bhakti. Not only the devotees who are pure devotees, but also the not so pure devotees are also maintained by the Lord. There are sufficient examples in the sixth canto. How the Lord is maintaining even those devotees who are not very pure in their motivations. According to Jyotish Shastra, there are three types of living entities: Devagan, Manushyagan, and Asurgan. So, in the sixth canto, we will find the example of Indra. Indra, who belongs to Devagan. And he gets cursed by Brihaspati, but in order to get rid of the curse, he gets the Narayan Kavach. And that Narayan Kavach protects Indra. In the sixth canto itself, we will find the story of Ajamil, who is Manushyagan. Indra is Devagan, Ajamil is Manushyagan. We will find the story of Ajamil, and in the story of Ajamil, we will see that even though Ajamil's motivation was not so pure, still the Supreme Lord protected him. And in the sixth canto, we will find the example of Diti. Diti, she is the mother of all Asuras, so Asuragan. So even though her motivation was not so pure, her motivation was that she wanted to kill Indra, so still the Supreme Lord protected her and her sons. So whether it is Devagan, whether it is Manushyagan, whether it is Asuragan, each and every one is maintained by the Supreme Lord's devotional service. This is the meaning of Poshana. So Atra Sargo Visargascha Sthanam Poshanam Utayah. Srimad Bhagavatam describes 10 topics: Sarga, Visarga, Sthan, Poshan, Uti. All these topics will be found in all the cantos. Srila Jiva Goswami says, all these 10 topics will be found in all the 12 cantos. Specifically, there are some lessons which can be learned from these two chapters. First lesson which I could learn from these two chapters is from the story of Diti, that anger or krodh, it brings out the real nature of a person. Usually people behave very civilized, but if somebody angers them, makes them angry, then they will show their real nature and they'll be able to do what nobody else has done before. Sometimes people become very angry, like Dhruv Maharaj, he had become angry. Then they will show their real capacity. Otherwise they'll not be able to show their real capacity. So when sometimes the Supreme Lord makes somebody angry, and by making somebody angry, then the best in that person comes out. There is one very good verse which is written by a poet in this regard. Jvalati chalatendano agnir viprakrita pannagah phanam kurute prayah svam mahimanam kshobhat pratipadyate jantuh. Jvalati chalatendano. If you have seen, sometimes a fire is almost extinguished and these black pieces of wood are kept there. If you try to move a certain piece, then immediately you will see fire underneath. So these black pieces of wood, you can agitate them by moving them. Viprakrutah pannagah phanam kurute. And you can agitate a snake by hitting him in various directions. And then only the snake will show its true nature. Prayah svam mahimanam kshobhat pratipadyate jantu. Usually it is seen that when somebody is extremely angry, only then they will start to show their real nature. And usually only when somebody is angry, only then they will take some very difficult task. So Diti took this difficult task of performing Pumsavan Vrat. Very difficult task. So actually, Diti is performing this Pumsavan Vrat under the influence of anger. Since her two sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, were already killed by Lord Vishnu, she is thinking that Lord Indra is purposely, he is inciting Lord Vishnu to kill my sons. In return, Diti thinks that if I'll perform this Pumsavan Vrat, I'll be able to get a son who will be able to kill Lord Indra. This type of bhakti is not considered to be pure bhakti. In the third canto, Kapil Muni says that actually such bhakti is bhakti which is performed in the mode of ignorance. He says specifically, abhisandaya yo himsam dambham matsaryam evava samrambhi bhinnadrik bhavam mai kuryat satamasa. Devotional service or bhakti executed by a person who is envious, who is proud, who is violent, who is angry, and who is separatist is considered to be in mode of ignorance. So anybody who performs bhakti because they want to take revenge on somebody, that devotional service is considered to be in mode of ignorance. Another thing which we can learn from this incident of Diti is that although the bhakti she has performed is in the darkest mode of ignorance because it is performed out of anger, still because it is bhakti for Lord Vishnu, it will not give any negative result. It will only give positive result. One verse is quoted in this regard. Mahadashraya samyogat dhatte shobham asadvapi kanta vilochane nyastham malimasam ivanjanam. Usually if we take some kajal and if we apply anywhere in the world, that place will become dirty. But if that same kajal is applied in the eyes of a young woman, the kajal looks beautiful and the woman looks beautiful. So usually, if violence is otherwise performed in the material world, it will destroy both people. But if violence or himsa is employed in the devotional service of Lord Vishnu, the person who does such bhakti will be benefited, and the person who was supposed to be the victim, he will also be benefited. This is specific glory of bhakti. Otherwise, any other activity in this material world, if it is performed out of violence, it will not give good result. Another thing which can be learnt is that when we perform bhakti, we should perform bhakti which is anukul. Definition of Shuddha Bhakti or Uttama Bhakti is given by Rupa Goswami. Anya bhilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulena krishnanu shilanam bhakti ruttama. Anyabhilashita shunyam, that the desire for any material enjoyment should be zero, shunyam, jnana karma adi anavritam, and bhakti should not be covered up by desires for jnana and karma. Anukulyena, devotional service should be performed favorably. Krishnanushilanam, any activity which is performed for Krishna is called as Uttama Bhakti. Our devotional service should be Uttama Bhakti. That is the lesson we have learned from Rupa Goswami. But from Diti's example, we see that this bhakti cannot be categorized as Uttama Bhakti, because this bhakti is not performed in a mood which is anukul or favorable towards Lord Krishna. She is performing bhakti out of a revengeful mentality towards Indra. Since she has not performed devotional service in a completely pure motivation, therefore the result she gets is also not very pure. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tams tathaiva bhajamyam. Those who are worshipping me with any motivation, I will give them the result that with which they have worshipped me. That is what Lord Krishna says. So the actual goal of devotional service or bhakti is that one can achieve love of Krishna. But here, Diti ends up with 49 children who are actually, they are born as asuras, but later Indra promotes them to become demigods. So they become 49 Marudgans.
So another lesson is that if devotional service is performed with specific motivation, then that specific pure goal will not be achieved. Only a partial goal will be achieved. In this there is another speciality. If the devotional service is performed towards Lord Krishna specifically. Specifically, if devotional service is performed towards Lord Krishna, there is some benefit. Even if it is not very pure. In the 7th canto, Shukdev Goswami explains, Kamat, Dveshat, Bhayat, Snehat, Yatha, Bhaktyeshware, Manah, Aveshya, Tad, Agam, Hitva, Bahavas, Tad, Gatim, Gatah. So many people perform devotional service out of lust, kamat. Many performed out of dvesh or envy. Bhayat, many people performed bhakti out of bhay or fear. Yatha bhakteshvare manaha. So in any way, whatever way possible, they performed some bhakti. Aveshya tad agham hitva. But because they were so absorbed in these feelings of envy, of anger, of fear, tad agham hitva, they got purified gradually and bahavas tad gatim gata. Many people achieved the spiritual world, even though they had not performed devotional service, which is very favorable. And then he gives the example. Bhayat kamso dvesha chaidyadayon ripa. Kamsa performed devotional service out of bhay. Dvesha chaidyadayon ripa. And many performed devotional service out of envy, like Shishupal. But still they were able to achieve the spiritual world. This is only in the case of Lord Krishna. And in some cases like Kutna, he will even award them a very glorious position. Specific case of Lord Krishna is that if somebody performs devotional service but they are not very pure, there is some small chance that they may still get a very favorable destination. Not in every case, in certain cases. But Rupa Goswami says that for us, still it is not acceptable. Even though Kamsa went by fear, even though Shishupal went by envy, but we should not exhibit bhakti or devotional service in these modes. Another point in this regard is that now that this chapter will end and this canto will end, Srila Shukdev Goswami will narrate all the fruits that one can get from this chapter. He says in this verse that a wife who performs this ritualistic ceremony will receive good fortune, opulence, sons, long living husband, good reputation and good home. Many times in the Puranas we will find Mahatmya, Ekadashi Mahatmya, Sthal Mahatmya, Tirth Mahatmya. If one does such and such thing, one will get the fruit of doing 100 Ashwamedh Yajnas. If one does such and such thing, one will become a king for 1000 Manvantaras. If one does such and such thing, he will enjoy Swargalok for millions of years. So Rupa Goswami says one verse in the Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu about all these Mahatmyas. He says one thing. He says that Keshamchit Kwachidanganam Yat Kshudram Shruyate Phalam Bahir Mukha Pravrityaitat Kintu Mukhyam Phalam Rati. केशांचित क्वचिदंगानाम यत क्षुद्रम श्रूयते फलम. Sometimes while performing bhakti, we will see some material benefits. Rupa Goswami calls them kshudram. This is not very important. Why have they been given? Why are these things promised? So Rupa Goswami says, bahirmukha pravritti aitat. Those who are bahirmukh or those who are not very much inclined to bhakti, in order to make them inclined to bhakti, sometimes such fruits are promised. So is there no fruit or is there no gain out of performing these activities? So Rupa Goswami says, kintu mukhyam phalam ratihi. The main fruit which will be achieved by performing these activities is rati or love of Krishna. So sometimes when we hear some mahatmya that by performing this, by donating a cow, you will reside in heaven for as long as there are hairs on the body of the cow. So as a devotee, our motivation should not exactly be that I want to stay in heaven for as many years as there are hairs on the body of the cow. That is not our motivation. Rupa Goswami says our motivation is kintu mukhyam phalam rati. Our main fruit that we want is that we want some love of Krishna. It is good to donate cows. It is good to perform all these activities. But specifically they should be done with a motivation that I want to develop love of Krishna. If somebody performs it with a motivation other than that, such devotional service cannot be called as Uttama Bhakti. Cannot be called. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami has defined only and only Uttama Bhakti. He did not define Madhyama Bhakti, or he did not give any category as Madhyama Bhakti or Adhama Bhakti. Because he says that Bhakti is always Uttama. Okay, Bhakti is always Uttama. She is always glorious. But because of the specific faults of the performer, the bhakti gets covered in different people. So two different definitions Rupa Goswami gives in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One is Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Rutam. This is one definition. This definition speaks specifically more about one's attitude. And then there is another verse which defines bhakti, which is given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which speaks more about practical activity. Sarvopadhi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. That verse is also defining bhakti. So this first verse, Anyabhilashita Shunyam, it focuses more on the attitude of the performer. And the second verse focuses more on how activities should be performed. These both verses are like a mirror in front, two mirrors in front of each other. If somebody is expert enough, they can see the reflection of the first verse in the second verse, and if somebody is expert enough, they can see the reflection of the second verse in the first verse. Now sixth canto is about to end. And various cantos are compared to the various limbs of the Lord. The first two cantos are compared to the first two feet of the Lord. His feet are 2 feet of the Lord. And third and fourth canto are compared to the two thighs of the Lord. Fifth canto is compared to the navel, nabhi. And fifth canto is the story of King Nabhi. Okay. So, fifth canto is compared to the nabhi or navel of the Lord. Sixth and seventh canto are compared to the arms of the Lord. And eighth canto is compared to the chest of the Lord. So we'll be finishing this canto. So we have paid our respects to the arm of the Lord. And when seventh canto will be finished, we'll have paid respect to the second arm. And then finally we'll be able to have darshan of the chest, broad chest of the Lord. And finally then we can move ahead to the throat and the face and so on. So these are all the things which we can learn. And one specific thing about sixth canto is that all these various pastimes which are described here, Ajamil or Narayan Kavach or Pumsavan Vrat, all these are very helpful for those devotees who are struggling or progressing in bhakti, who have the desire of attaining pure devotional service. All these examples, Diti, Indra, Ajamil, they give some hope to the devotees who are not very pure in their motivation. One day I will achieve pure bhakti. And after all these examples of not so pure devotional service have been described, in the seventh canto, Srila Sukhdev Goswami will describe the glories of pure devotional service by giving only one example, which is Prahlad Maharaj. This is called as Kaimutya Nyaya. Kaimutya Nyaya means, if such and such people achieved such a glorious result, what to speak of? So this what to speak of, this comparison is known as Kaimutya Nyaya. In Sanskrit, Kim Uta means what to speak of. So Kaimutya Nyaya means this logic of what to speak of. If these people can attain, then what to speak of those who are pure? So sixth canto in itself is one sort of Kaimutya Nyaya. If these personalities can attain such a good result, what to speak of when devotional service is performed like the devotee in the seventh canto, Prahlad Maharaj. So we'll pause here. Srila Prabhupada ki Tagore Premanande. Questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes.
You mentioned about pure, like without any motivation one may serve. But like one may aspire to serve a spiritual master directly, or one may aspire to serve the deities, dress the deities personally or worship the deities, or one may aspire to lead the kirtan personally. And it may not always be out of this thing. It may personal desire. It may help you, benefit you towards Uttama Bhakti. So how you explain this?
You'll have to rephrase. I'm not able to understand. To serve the deities or
directly.
Desire to lead kirtan.
Or serve spiritual master also directly.
Yeah.
It's a desire, no?
Is a pure desire.
Pure.
Yeah. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, We must directly serve the spiritual master. Anybody who does not have the desire of directly serving the spiritual master, that person will be cheated. There is a book called as Amritvani. In some question and answers from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur have been compiled. In that book you will find this. He says we should directly serve the spiritual master. Because if we don't have the desire of becoming, serving spiritual master directly, how can we expect that we will have a relationship of friendship with him? Spiritual master means Sri Guru Karuna Sindhu Adama Janara Bandhu. Bandhu means he is our friend, he is our well-wisher. Friendship means we have to know him personally. How can we expect to have a relationship when we don't even have the desire to serve the spiritual master personally? At least once everybody should try that they will get an opportunity to serve their spiritual master personally. Everybody should try like this. Guru, not only guru does not only mean mantra guru or one who has given diksha. Guru also means shravan guru or guru who is giving shiksha. If some Mahabhagavat is present, one should serve them as one would serve one's guru. All Vaishnavas are guru. Among them, Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru are special. Both of them should be given some special honor and special position in one's mind. This was written by pure devotee of the Lord, Sri Narahari Chakravarti. He wrote this in Krishna Bhajanamrit. All Vaishnavas are guru. Among this, Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru are somewhat special. They should be given some special respect in mind. Their service should be considered very deeply by the disciple. If the disciple performs a certain service which goes against the service of the spiritual master, then that will be considered as a fault in the disciple. In Bhakti Sandarbh, Jiva Goswami says a specific quote he is giving. Shri Guru Sevaya Tad Virodhe Na Chanya Sham Api Vaishnavanam Sevanam Shreya Anyatha Doshah Syat. You can look up this quote in Bhakti Sandarbh. Service should be performed that it will be neutral or it will be favorable to Guru. Any service which becomes unfavorable to one's spiritual master is actually a fault in the disciple. This is Jiva Goswami's conclusion in Bhakti Sandarbh. So one should always desire to have personal service of the spiritual master. And this is not an impure desire, this is extremely pure desire.
Then what about deities?
Yeah, serving deities is also pure desire. Narottam Das Thakur is giving a very higher version of that. Radha Krishna Pran Mora Jugala Kishore Jivana Marane Gati Ar Nahi Mor Kalindira Kule Keli Kadambera Van Ratana Vedira Upar Bosavodujan. So he is saying on the bank of Yamuna, I will make one big swing and it will be full of decorated jewels and I will make Radha and Krishna sit on them. Then I will give one tambul. Tambul means betel nut, betel leaf, and I will feed them. So, if this is not pure devotional service, then what is pure devotional service?
The problem may be more than one person must be aspiring to serve directly. Then there can be conflict.
The conflict is not if more than one person is aspiring to serve directly. A conflict may be between those two people. If they really want to serve their guru, then they will serve in a mode which doesn't conflict with each other. Like when building the setu, bridge over the ocean, so many were serving, but they served in such a way that nobody got into any sort of a conflict. One time Hanumanji, he got into a conflict with the squirrel, and Lord Ram said that you are not supposed to do that. Hanumanji was carrying these big boulders, big stones, and he was throwing in the ocean, and the squirrel was throwing some little stones. So Hanumanji said, get out of the way. So Lord Ram called him and told him that this is not proper mood. So that is, the spiritual master also understands that there is no favoritism, actually. Ideally there is no favoritism. And when two disciples perform service, it is better if they get together and perform that service, if they are performing the same service. But if there is a desire in the mind, I will be recognized by the guru as a special disciple, and that will create some conflict. Our motivation is to perform service. The motivation is not to get recognized in the eyes of the guru as somebody special. Perform service and be quiet. So Krishna will recognize. That is our faith, Krishna will recognize. That Krishna will, in due course of time, whatever devotional service we have performed sincerely, Krishna will recognize and will reward accordingly.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Krishna maintains his pure devotees. Krishna also maintains those who are not that much pure devotees. Huh? But what about non-devotees? Is Krishna not maintaining non-devotees? Or those living entities who are, other forms like birds, reptiles?
Everybody is being maintained. That is, because he is saying that Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu Name Dveshos Tina Priya. But he is maintaining. But special preference is given to somebody who is devotee. And when I say maintaining or poshan, I mean maintaining their bhakti or maintaining their position in the material world. Krishna does all those things.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. If someone performs devotional service with the motivation of going back to Godhead, is that counted as a pure devotional service or it is mixed? What exactly it can be?
Srila Rup Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that there are five types of liberation. One is Sayujya, Samipya, Sarishti, Salokya, Sarupya. There are five types of liberation. Out of these five, one type of liberation is very much unfavorable to Krishna. That is Sayujya, or merging in the body of the Lord. And then in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami says that remaining four are not very unfavorable. Therefore, they can be accepted as pure devotional service. He says that usually remaining four are not impure motivations, they can be accepted as pure desires. Like in 11th canto, Avanti Brahman says, Etam cha asthaya paratma nishtha adhyasitam purva tamai mahadbi aham tarishyami duranta pare. By performing this devotional service to the Lord, I will cross over the ocean of material world. This is pure devotional service. But if one says, I will cross over in order to merge with the Lord, So that is not pure devotional service. So any desire to attain one of the four forms of liberation can be considered pure devotional service. But among that, Srila Prabhupada's opinion is furthermore that the purest of the pure does not desire anything. And Prabhupada always used to quote this verse, this paya, Tadera charana sevi bhakta sanevas, janame janame mora ei abilas. I will serve you, Krishna, I will stay with the devotees, life after life, this is my desire. And Prabhupada used to quote it to say that, pure devotee doesn't even desire going back to Godhead. So, it's not a difference of opinion. So, going back to Godhead is not very impure desire. It is a pure desire. But going back to Godhead means attaining without merging into the Lord. All right. So, thank you very much, and please excuse me if there are any mistakes or errors. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande.